Blog Talk Radio.
As the Most High has laid them out.
I have been modifying this particular lesson after, you know, the Most High showed me about willful and ignorant sin. Then I needed to modify this lesson. So I sent everybody out. I sent everybody out this study guide. I pray that you had time to look at it or at least pull it up. You can use it, you know, in this subject area. I will probably send out a more updated one in a week or so after I completely go through this one. As I said, when I made this series, there were some understandings that the Most High was still dealing with me, and so I am trying to incorporate those new understandings into the study guide because it is milk. And remember, this class, the newcomers class, is dealing with the milk of the word, not a whole lot of deep things, but the milk, what every saint should know. So it's important for us to understand confession and forgiveness. You know, the Catholics don't have everything wrong. They just don't have everything right. You know, we need to understand confession and forgiveness. So I'm going to open up the mics here. We'll do the necessary. We'll do our statement of faith, and we'll pray in, and then we'll jump into this lesson on forgiveness and confession, or confession and forgiveness. So shalom, family. How is everyone?
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom. I guess everybody else is doing bad.
Shalom.
All right, amen.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, my sister. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Amen. All right. Maybe everybody else is busy, tied up, doing whatever. Not going to belabor the point. So I pray that... did you guys get the study guide in email? Did you check?
Yes, I did.
I haven't checked mine.
All right.
I haven't checked.
All right, amen. Yeah, if you check your email, then you'll have the study guide for lesson. It should be lesson 8 in the study guide with everything that we're going to go over. And as I said, I will probably revise again. Not sure how much I'm going to revise it, but I'll probably revise it again. So let's go ahead so we can jump into this. Let's do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in and go ahead and jump into this lesson. Remember, this is open phone, open mic. If you got noise in the background, go ahead and mute yourself on your end. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, whether you're on your phone. If you're in your car, we pray that you keep yourself muted. Don't try to talk while you are driving. Whether you're in North America, South America, the continent of Africa, the European theater, or the Far East, we greet you in the Master's name and in the Middle East, even though I like saying the Middle East, but even in the Middle East, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. All right, we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith, and I'm going to play a song today because I really do need a cup of coffee, and I don't have it here with me, so I'm going to have to run and make one real quick. But I'm going to play a song, and while that song is playing, I'm going to get my coffee so we can jump into this lesson. All right, so let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13.
Amen.
Let us give our Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Because truly he is worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We want to thank him for keeping us, for bringing us through another night, for giving us another day that we can worship him. If we are need to forgive somebody, we can forgive them. If we need to confess our sins, and we know those are ignorant sins, we can confess those and be in right relationship with him. So hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise on today. We worship you, and it's you alone that we will bow down to. We will not bow down to another. For you are our Elohim. You are our glorious one. You are majesty upon majesty. Hallelujah. You are from glory to glory. You are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And Father, we just want to praise and worship you on today, give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We want to thank you for bringing us through another night. Hallelujah. Thank you for family and friends, for keeping all our loved ones safe. Hallelujah. If you call anybody home, Father, we know that you know when it's best. Hallelujah. So we glorify you on today, Father, and we lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol thee, O Yah. We extol thee above everything and everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you and to you alone. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us go to, let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, and let us get Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And then I said, Exodus chapter 20. And let me open up my Bible there. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, and we're going to get verses 1 through 6. And when you have it, if you say amen to that one, well, never mind. You'll be doing that enough tonight. So Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Out of the house of bondage, thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I'm going to play a song here. I'm going to go get my coffee, and we're going to come back and jump into this precept. Let me play this song right here. Looking for I've Been Changed.
Thank you.
Amen. Where did you go? There we go. All right, I'll be right back. Document that I sent you, I give you the definition for confession, okay, and one, it means to tell or make known something such as something wrong or damaging to oneself. Admit he confessed his guilt. To acknowledge sin to Elohim or to a priest. Now, I want to say that you can't actually confess to the Most High. You might say, well, why not? Confession means to make something known that is not known. And there's nothing that the Most High don't know.
Amen.
And when we look in the scripture, say, let's say when the brothers went to Ai or a different city, and the brothers stole some gold and some silver and some precious cloth that was being used for worship. And he stole it, and he hid it in his tent. The Most High knew it was there, and Joshua didn't know. Nobody else knew. And the Most High could have just said, hey, this brother, this the one that stole it. But he made him come and confess it to Joshua. The Most High knew, and he said, you know, you got to confess this thing. So you got to understand, there's nothing that you can't tell. There's nothing that the Most High doesn't know. So it's really impossible to confess to him. You can acknowledge before him that, you know, you're a sinner and that you sin, but you can't really confess. You can't tell him something he doesn't know. Okay. To declare faith or in or adherence to profess. The word confess can be used to refer to a confession of faith, whereby we declare our allegiance to Mashiach or to Christ as Elohim, as well as an admission, an acknowledgement of sin and guilt. To tell or make known something, such as something wrong or damaging to oneself, to make known means that it is unknown. So if you make it known, you're making it known because it is what? Unknown. When you're confessing to your pastor or you're confessing something to a loved one, you're telling them something that they don't know. Okay? And when it's in the regards to sin, it is to help us come clean with the Most High as far as having a clear conscience, getting absolution, and to set the relationship right. Yah knows everything, even searching out the intent of the heart. That's according to Psalms chapter 44, verses 21. So you cannot confess to Yah. And I need to put that in. I missed a word in there. You cannot confess to him because he searches out the heart. Even, you know, things that you won't tell, that's why I say when we go to him, when we end up going to him for judgment in the future, he says, I judge the heart. So even if, you know, a person under the law, they had to actually do a certain thing. They had to actually commit the sin, do the act. And Messiah changed that in the New Testament. He changed that. He says, I judge the heart. So if it was in your heart to do this thing, whether you physically went out and did it or not, doesn't matter. If it was in your heart to do it, and the only thing that didn't present itself was the opportunity didn't present itself, but had the opportunity presented itself, you would have done it. He says, that's what I'm going to judge. And he says, I know what the intent of your heart is. You can't hide it from me. You can't lie to me. So we can't really confess to him. And he says he's going to judge us by our heart. Okay. So because he already knows what we have done and why, you know, a lot of the times, the reason behind something, the why makes a difference. Sometimes you are put in a situation that, you know, you do something and it may be wrong, but why you did it may lessen, you know, the degree of its wrongness. So I'm sure I could think of a situation like that. Maybe it was a life or death situation. And you told a quote-unquote lie to save someone's life. The Most High would look at that reason why. Okay. So it is the latter meaning that we are concerned with in this precept. We're looking for how Yah looks at this, how the Most High looks at this. He's going to look at our heart. He's going to judge us based upon that. And so up under the Old Testament, the law, you had to have three witnesses. Before they could even accuse you of something, they had to have three witnesses to say, hey, yeah, we saw this. Up under the New Testament, Messiah says, uh-uh, that's not the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is what's in your heart. Okay. So I want to cover a couple of verses here that are things that are not new, because, you know, a lot of the saints feel like confession is a new thing in the New Testament, especially when we go to 1 John chapter 1, I believe it is. We have it in here in this precept, but 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We'll get to that in a minute, because this is the verse that the entire church is using today, and they're using it to justify their sin. But we want to make sure that we get this thing right, because we don't want to go before the Most High feeling like we're justified when we are contrary to his word. Okay? When we're contrary to his word. So Leviticus chapter 5. Let's go there. Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 5. And this is in your document. If you don't have that document, if you say amen, so I'll make sure that we're all at the same place. Leviticus chapter 5, starting in verse 5. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. Amen. All right, Leviticus chapter
Amen.
5. Leviticus chapter, thank you, my sister. Leviticus chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things. Now, the verses up prior that is talking about, you know, being a witness for something, or let's just go and start in verse 1. So we get the gist of what's being talked about here. And this is really talking about being clean and unclean. But it's dealing with because being clean and unclean in the eyes of the Most High is sin. And so he says, you know, no unclean person is going to get into the kingdom. So we've talked about these things before, and I'm not going to teach cleanliness and clean and unclean in this lesson. But just to understand that confession is not new. It's not new in the scriptures, okay? It was not new for Israel. It did not change in the New Testament or in the New Covenant. So Leviticus chapter 5, verses starting in verse 1. And if a soul sins and hears the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. In other words, you saw somebody sinning or you saw somebody swearing and they swore something that was untrue and you witnessed it and you don't open your mouth to correct it or do anything like that, then he says, and you don't utter it, you don't utter the truth, then he says, you shall bear your iniquity. That means that sin stays on you. You have sinned, okay? Or if a soul touched any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and it be hidden from him. He didn't know that he touched this unclean thing, but when he finds out, he also shall be unclean and guilty. And right now, again, we're not worrying about clean and unclean. We're just looking at this, what they have to do. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him. When he knows of it, then he shall be guilty. So, you know, you can't be guilty of something that you don't know. Okay, not that you can't be guilty. The Most High is not going to hold you accountable for it if you don't know it. But when you know of it, then you shall be guilty. You have still sinned. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, it shall be hid from him, and it shall be hid from him when he knows of it. Then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be that he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. So when we understand, even in the Torah, even by the law, when we had transgressed the laws of the Most High, we transgressed his commandment, then we have sinned, and we were to confess it. Okay, now the ones that he's talking about, these are things he says, when you know it, when you find out, because surely you're not going to do this thing, what, willfully, intentionally. Different thing is a whole different matter, okay? And so we got to understand, and that's what I'm trying to include in this particular precept, that, you know, the two categories of sin, willful and unintentional, those two different categories sin. You know, there's all kinds of sins, but when we really break it down in the eyes of the Most High, he sees it in two categories. Either you knew what you were doing or you didn't. So he says, all right, I've given you my law. I've given you my commandments. And if there's something that you're doing that you didn't know, the day that you find out that it's wrong, that you know that it's wrong, then you confess it, okay? He shall confess that he has sinned in that thing, and he shall bring a trespass offering. Now, we don't do trespass offerings anymore, he says. In the New Testament, he says, then you shall confess it, and he is sure and just to forgive you. But it goes toward you not knowing it. It goes toward ignorant sin. So in the Old Testament, you could do a sin, and if you didn't know it, the day that you found out about it, you confessed it, you brought a sacrifice, and the priest was able to make atonement for you, and that sin would be forgiven you. Okay, it was a sin. You didn't know it, but you found out, oh, man, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be doing that, or I didn't know I was supposed to be doing that. Okay, and you confess it to the Most High. I'm sorry, Most High, I didn't know. I will not do that anymore, or I will do what it is that you want me to do. And he says, then you bring the sacrifice to the priest, and he will make atonement. In the New Testament, he simply tells us to come and confess our sin, and he is true and just to forgive us. And we want to talk about that in the light of if it was ignorant or it was willful, presumptuous. So let's go to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. And we're going to get verses 28 through 31. Numbers chapter 15, verses 28 through 31. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sins ignorantly. The priest could never make an atonement for a man who sinned intentionally. There was no blood for that, okay? When he sins by ignorance before Yah to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. So we want to bring that stuff, you know, we're including this in light of, you know, what we have traditionally been taught in this matter. Verse 30, but the soul that does ought presumptuously. And if you strike out that word presumptuously in your Bible and write willingly or willfully, then you will have the same wording that's in the New Testament. Okay? But the soul that does ought presumptuously or willfully, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproach is Yah. Offends Yah, offends the Most High, transgresses his law. That soul shall be cut off from among his people because he has despised the word of Yah and has broken his commandment, that he shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. In other words, he can't make an atonement. He can't bring a sacrifice to the priest. The priest can't make an atonement and cause him to be, you know, to be forgiven, like he did if he was ignorant. And you've got to understand that this concept, this same concept, transfers over into the New Testament. Okay? Cannot, pick, you know, cherry pick the scriptures. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 26. And when you have it, if you say amen. And this is just setting up, you know, just setting up the foundation. Hebrews
Amen.
Chapter 10 and verse 26. All right. Thank you, my sister. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 26. For if we sin willfully, again, if we take that word willfully and put presumptuously there, we are saying the same thing. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. So if we knowingly do it, this is still in the New Testament. This is not the law, you know, because people want to say, well, we're not up under the law anymore. Well, we are, but we got to know how it translates and transfers into the New Covenant. This didn't change. Okay, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. That fire, you know, fiery indignation, he's really talking about the lake of fire. Okay, and why? We'll read that why in a second. Which shall devour the adversaries, always from the Torah and the New Testament, the New Covenant. If we willfully sinned, we became adversarial to the Most High. We became his enemy. And so that's not a good place to be. Now he goes, takes us back into the law in verse 28. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy. under two or three witnesses. And he says, you shall have no mercy on them. If they're found guilty, you are to carry out the law without mercy. So he says, they died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more sore, how much more worse the punishment, suppose he, or do you think, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace? In other words, the law of Moses was sealed in the blood of animals, bulls and goats. But the blood of the new covenant is sealed in the blood of Messiah. And if we go back and we willfully sin after we understand what's right and what's wrong, he says there ain't no blood for that. There is no more sacrifice. You just violate it just like in Torah. You willfully sin, and he says there ain't no more blood for that. And he says not only that, he says, how much worse punishment do you think you deserve, seeing that you have counted the blood of Messiah as something unholy or unclean? Okay. For we know him that has said, verse 30, vengeance belongeth unto me. You're going to go before the Most High, and he says, hey, this ain't coming up under the blood. I will repay, saith Yah. And again, Yah shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't play with this stuff. And so we might think, oh, we got, you know, he's got to be merciful and he's got to be kind. No. No, he's saying no. You're going to fall, you're going to see me, and I'm going to carry out the full extent of the law.
Amen.
Okay, and really we already know what that full extent is. Because if you think that you deserve death up under Moses' law, what kind of punishment do you think you deserve up under the new covenant? Because it's not easier, it's harder. You have a more perfect covenant, sealed with a more perfect promise, and with the blood of Messiah and not a bull and a goat. The blood of Elohim himself. He said, so how much worse punishment do you think you deserve? It's a fearful thing to fall into his hands. Okay? So we got to understand. The Most High always forgave and allowed us to confess. In Torah and in the New Covenant, confess our sins. He said, hey, if it is intentional, if you were willfully disobedient to me, you willfully disobeyed me, in Torah you couldn't bring me a sacrifice, and the priest couldn't make atonement for you for that, and you surely can't do that for me, to me, in the New Testament. There's only one time you can do that in the New Testament. And so we've taught this over and over and over again. But this is the lesson, the milk lesson on confession and forgiveness, starting with, you know, with the Most High, confessing our sins, and then with our brothers and our sisters. So with the Most High, he says, hey, when you find out something is a sin, you've been doing it, you didn't know it was a sin, you didn't know that you should be doing this or shouldn't be doing it, the day you find out, you confess it. That's the law. That was in the law. That moves over to the New Testament. So things that you don't know that you should be doing or not doing, then when you find out, then you confess it. That's even after you come to him. So in a nutshell, when we first come to Messiah under the New Covenant, all of our sins can be forgiven, willful and ignorant. Okay, willful and ignorant, one time. So you come to him and you confess, these are my sins. These are the things that I'm dying to. I'm no longer going to do these things. I'm going to repent. And he is true and just to forgive you all of your sins, all of them. from the day you were born up until the day that you come to him and confess your sin. Now you have a clean slate, and you are starting over. If you willfully sin after that point, well, I know this is wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. He says there ain't no blood for that. There ain't no more sacrifice for that. Because he doesn't like willful disobedience.
Man.
He never has liked it. Under the law, you couldn't bring a sacrifice for that, and a priest could atone for you. He said, your iniquity shall remain upon you. Now he's saying in the New Testament, up under the New Covenant, you can't come and confess that to me if you knew what you were doing. The first time only, that's my grace, and I pray we understand grace. I'm extending, I have a period here in your life that I'm extending the scepter to you, and I'm giving you grace. You just came to me. You just found out about Messiah, and all of your sins, those that you knew you were doing wrong and those that you were doing ignorant. You say, I know I'm a sinner, Most High, and I know I was doing these things, and I know they were wrong. I knew it when I was doing it. Thank Yah for your blood. Thank you for having mercy on me and for having grace, because really, by the law, I should be dead.
Amen.
But you have extended grace to me, and this one time when you come to him, all of your sins can be forgiven. Willful and unwillful. All of your sins at that point and past. And we've already gone it, so I'm not going to reteach it. But we know that he died for our sins that are past. That past is from the time we come to him to the time that we were born. All those sins. Whether we knew we were doing wrong or not, that they can be forgiven. They can be wiped. That slate can be wiped clean. But now you know better, and you know that you have you are under the blood of Messiah. Then surely you're not going to what? Willfully sin. You're not going to know something is wrong and go ahead and do it. Then if that happens, then you need to actually really beg for his mercy and then pray that he has it, that he doesn't impute your sin against you. And you won't know that until you go before the judgment throne. You won't know that. Okay. So, you know, the church has been teaching people, you know, no matter how much you sin, the Most High will forgive you. That is just not true.
No, it's not.
Okay. And we need to know and understand that. That is just not true. If we come to him ignorant, things that we didn't know. Because when we, you know, if we're not being taught the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, it's going to be a lot of things we don't know.
True.
But once we learn them and know them, then we are what? Accountable. And if we willfully break them at that point, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. He says, what sort of punishment do you think you deserve? And this is a New Testament. I keep telling us it's not easier. The Elohim of the New Testament is no more forgiving than the Elohim of the Old Testament.
Amen.
If you sin against him in the Old Testament and you did it ignorantly, he would forgive you. He'd say, hey, you can bring a sacrifice. Take it to the priest. Let him make atonement for you, and I will forgive you. He says, but if you did it presumptuously and you knew what you were doing, I'm not forgiving that because you knew you were sinning, and I'm not forgiving you. Your iniquity shall be upon you. That means your sin shall remain. Now let's look and see what Paul said concerning this. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 All right, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Who was beforehand? Now, Paul is talking about himself. who was beforehand a blasphemer. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor. He persecuted the church and injured, hurting people. But I obtained mercy. Why? Because I did it, what?
Ignorantly. Belief.
In unbelief. I thought I was doing a good. I thought when I was taken down to saints that I was doing the work of the Most High. And I was ignorant. I was hurting people and persecuting them. And I was really blaspheming, turning the word of the Most High into something evil. But I was doing it ignorantly, right?
Ignorantly. And in unbelief.
In unbelief. And Messiah forgave him. Okay. But we got to understand that. Whatever we do ignorantly, it's forgivable in the eyes of the Most High. But whatever we do intentionally and we know it's wrong, it's that's a whole nother thing. And you know, as I said, you can't really confess anything to the Most High. You can't tell him something he don't already know. No matter where we're at in the scriptures, when there was sin in the camp, the Most High would say, hey, I'm leaving. There's sin in the camp. Now you find out who it is. I know who it is, but you find out who it is and make them confess it. And then he made them carry out the law, which was 99.9% of the time a death sentence. And not just that one man who did the act, did he not have them to kill him and his wife and his children and burn up everything?
Burn up everything he had.
Everything. His wife and children didn't take nothing, but they had to be complicit in it. They must have knew. They saw him digging that pit and putting it in there. Didn't say nothing. And that's why they died, because it said, hey, if you see something and you're a witness to something, a sin, a transgression of the law, and you don't say anything, then you are what? Guilty.
Can you say guilt by association?
That wouldn't even be, in this case, it wasn't even by association, because they had to see him digging the pit and burying the stuff in their tent. And so they knew, and they didn't say anything. That's what that verse that we read in Numbers meant. They were a witness to it. And they saw what he did, and they didn't bring it up and say, Caleb has, or I forget, I got to go get this brother's name.
Acah?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
They say he stole some stuff and he buried it in the tent. And this was stuff that these people used to worship. And so they didn't tell it. In the eyes of the Most High, by his own laws, they were guilty. So this whole family got killed for what this one man did. Okay, so we got to understand that. He has never played with this stuff, and he's always said what he meant, and he's meant what he said. And so we got to understand, when we bring it into the New Testament, that it didn't change. The only thing that happened was he says, I'm gonna modify this contract. And I'm gonna have some grace. I'm extending grace. There's a grace period in every person's life. There's a grace period.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna have grace, and this one time you can bring it to me, all the bad you've done, and I will extend grace to you and forgive you, even though you deserve to die.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to forgive you. All your sins that are past, I'm going to forgive you for them. Okay, and if you want to know where that scripture is, I'll just say it. We're not going to go there, but you can go to Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verse 25, and it'll tell you that he died for your sins. He's a propitiation for sins that are past, not future. Past. Because, you know, the church and, you know, the common belief is that you can just sin unlimitedly, and as long as you say, I'm sorry, he is true and just to forgive you. And I'm here to tell you today that is just not true. He said, I'm not a fool. And I'm not going to be mocked.
Man.
So you can take the truth and turn it into a lie all you want. But when you come before me, I'm going to judge you according to what I've already said.
Amen.
Okay. So after becoming a child of Yah, becoming a child of the Most High, you discover that you have sinned again ignorantly against the Most High, against Yah, then immediately confess your sin. And Yah will forgive you. You don't want to hold on to it. Especially now if you know you've been doing it what? You did this. You weren't intentionally trying to break his statutes, laws, and commandments. Yah didn't know. Because if I knew, I would have been doing it or not doing it. Whichever it was. Okay. If I was supposed to be doing it, I'll start doing it. If I'm not supposed to be doing it, I'll stop doing it.
Amen.
I didn't know. He says, confess it, and he is true and just to forgive you. The way that scripture is written, if we confess our sins, that he is true and just to forgive us, if we go off of that verse alone and we isolate that verse by itself, then we might actually really believe that what? Anytime we sin, all we got to do is confess it.
Right.
But that is not understanding the word of the Most High. And that's cherry picking the scriptures and not setting ourselves approved. So we have to understand that in confession and forgiveness that, you know, the Most High will forgive us. And it doesn't matter. As long as we haven't blasphemed the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, he says it can be forgiven, right?
Right.
But if we do that, then it's not forgivable in this world or the world to come. But we got to also take everything in context. Can't have Hebrews chapter 10, excuse me, can't have Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. If we could sin, you know, unlimitedly, and no matter how many times we sin, the Most High is true and just to forgive us, then he would never have put Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 31 in there.
Amen.
Because there's a difference when you do something ignorantly or when you do it what? Willfully. If I say something to you and I don't know that it offends you, and you say, oh, you offended me. And I say, well, how did I offend you? And you say, well, you said yada, yada, yada. And I say, okay, well, I'm sorry, my sister. I didn't know. I won't say it again. Okay. And you should forgive me because I did it what? Ignorantly. I didn't know that offended you. But if I come back and do the same thing all over again, now I can't claim ignorance, can I?
No, because it's intentional.
Right. It's intentional at that point. And you can say, well, you have offended me again, and you were trying to offend me. Okay, and in that case, you don't really have to forgive that person. It's when they sin against you ignorantly.
Yeah.
Same way with the Most High. So once you and that person have talked that thing out, they don't have a license to keep coming back 7 times, 70 times to keep offending you.
Right.
But if I keep doing something, well, you know, maybe you're a real finicky person. And I did this, it offends you. I say, I'm sorry. Okay, I don't do that again. I do something else. And that offends you too. And this offends you too. And that offends you too. But there's something different. And each one, I'm ignorant of it. Then you should forgive me every time. But if after you done told me, I come back and I do that thing again, no, that's not ignorant. That is intentional. Okay? Go to Numbers, chapter 5. The book of Numbers, chapter 5, and we're going to get verses 6, 5, 6, and 7. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or a woman shall commit any sin that men do to trespass against Yah, that person, and that person be guilty, then they shall confess their sin, which they have done, and he shall recompense or repay his trespass with a principal thereof, and unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he has trespassed. Now, there was a monetary penalty for sin as well. Okay, and this, we're just looking at this for the, if you do this thing, then you're supposed to do what? Confess it, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, don't worry about making the trespass offering and paying that. We're not going to get into that. We're adding a fifth part. Because you tell people they got to pay something, and right away they start running. But that was the law. You know, if you committed a sin, just like in the law here, there's penalties and there's financial penalties for, what, breaking the law?
Yes, it is.
And if you got enough money, you know, you can actually pay for a crime and not do any jail time. If you got the money. When you don't have the money, that's when they start saying, okay, yeah. Or the crime is so horrendous that, yeah, we're going to make you do jail time too. Okay. But in this case, we're just looking at the confession part. Speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or a woman shall commit any sin that men commit, any sin that men commit, to do a trespass against Yah. That's what sin is trespassing against Yah. Anything that he has said to do or not to do, and not either doing what he says not to do or not doing what he says to do, that's a sin. That person be guilty, then they shall confess their sin which they have done. Okay, and that's as far as we want to take that. Because we're talking about confession and forgiveness. So this having to confess is not a new thing. Everybody understand that?
Amen.
It's not new. It's not new to the New Testament. Messiah didn't come and create a new law. This has always been this way. So to whom do we confess our sins? In this precept, we will that a number of people could be involved, or we'll see a number of people that could be involved. Yah in all cases. You confess to Yah, but you really technically can't really confess to him. Because a lot of people will confess to Yah and then, well, I confess it to God and nothing happened. And then the next moment of weakness, they do what?
Do it again.
They do it again. Because we're supposed to hold one another, what, accountable. That's why you confess to your pastor so that somebody else knows that you're doing wrong and they can bring it to your attention and they can hold you accountable. Well, brother, how you doing today? And I may not be asking you really how you're feeling. I may be asking you how you're doing with that situation we what talked about. You having a hard time not chasing skirts? Well, we talked about this. We said you would work on that. You would do a little bit of this. How you doing? Well, I'm doing okay. I haven't been, The thought has come, but I put it down. You know, how are you doing? Because we need to have some accountability. So we confess to our pastors, the elders, the person that we offended. If I do something to offend you, I need to come and bring in and handle that matter with you. Regarding the subject of forgiveness, all of our confessions of a lifetime will be meaningless if we do not properly forgive those who sin against us. We see that in the parable of the man with 10,000 that owed the king 10,000 talents. The king forgave him, and I've already told you guys this, and let's see if who remembers. And I use the example of money. If I loan you $100 and then I forgive you that $100, I ask you, are you still a debtor?
Yes, you are, because I still owe you that $100. I didn't pay you.
Right, you didn't pay me. So your status, from the time that I loaned you the money, you became a debtor, right?
Right.
And until you pay me back, you will always still be a debtor.
Debtor.
It's just, what type of debtor are you going to be?
A forgiven debtor.
Right, a forgiven debtor. Still a debtor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to be a debtor, the only way that you can not be a debtor is to pay me.
To pay you.
Now, you don't owe anything. That status of being a debtor to me no longer applies because you what paid me. Right?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what sin works the same way. So you are a forgiven sinner. You couldn't pay the price for yourself.
Amen.
The scripture says we are bought with a price.
Hallelujah.
With what? Whose blood? Messiah's blood. He paid the debt, right?
Yes, he did. Yep.
We are in debt to him.
Yes, we are.
So we are still forgiven what? Debtors.
Debtors.
Forgiven sinners. Okay? We can't pay the price for ourselves, so there's no way for us. We can't pay the price for our sin because it requires our life. We can't pay with tainted blood. Most of us say, you can't pay with that. That's dirty money. I don't take that. So Messiah paid the debt for us.
Thank you.
You are bought with a price. We belong to him.
Amen.
And, you know, the only way, again, we can't pay for our own debt in this regard because we can't, you know, we give our life. But he's saying your blood was tainted and you can't pay with your own blood. I need blood that is what? Not tainted, without sin. That's what makes Messiah's blood acceptable. He was without sin. He can pay the debt. And the Most High says, if you believe what he did, acknowledge it, then I'm going to let you take credit for his death. I'm going to give you credit for it. But you can't pay the price yourself. He's paying it for you. So he did for some. He did for us something that we could not do for ourselves. There's no way possible that we could. I hope we understand that. So we are forever in his what? Debt.
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 Right. We are forever in his debt. Okay. So if we understand that from money, from the standpoint of money, we can do that because, you know, we could always go in with earn the money and then pay the debt off. And it changes our status. The only way we could change our status is with Messiah. Okay. So now let's get into this. We have these guidelines, these premises. Why must we confess our sin? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. We'll get verse 13. And if you have a paper, just in the paper, you study guide. If not, when you get there, if you say amen.
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 He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. If you cover your sin, that means, if to cover something, that means you know that what you're doing, right?
Right. You're trying to hide it.
He says you shall not prosper because you know you're doing wrong. But whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. But have mercy. Now, this is the way he has always been. What must be our attitude in confessing our sins? Go to Psalms chapter 38. The book of Psalms chapter 38. Let's get verse 18. Psalms 38 and 18. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
For I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. That's got to be our attitude. I'm going to declare that I did wrong, and I'm going to be sorry that I did wrong. And what type of sorrow do you have to have for this? Let me get this verse. Because when the Most High first showed me this, this is what changed, you know, my mind and my heart concerning sin. Let me find this verse. I know I didn't put it in here. Let me look in all the books.
Oh, excuse me.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 real quick. Well, no, I actually did put it in here. Disregard. Disregard, I did put it in here. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 7. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. For godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. What does this mean? This means that you understand who you have transgressed against. And you are sorry that you have transgressed against the Most High.
Amen.
Godly sorrow works repentance. The salvation not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. The sorrow of the world don't recognize that it has transgressed against the Most High. Doesn't take it that high, that far. Godly sorrow. Most High, I am so sorry that I have transgressed against your statutes, your laws, and your commandments.
Amen. Amen.
I have offended the Most High Elohim. If he means anything to you, then that should what? That should affect you.
It will. Mm-hmm. It does.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And it should affect you. When you realize that you have offended the Most High,
amen,
then that should really affect you, and it should really make you afraid. It should make you, you know, it should make you feel some kind of way. And not easy either.
Amen, amen, amen.
So that is really the difference there. Because, you know, if we just say we have disobeyed, but we don't really put the emphasis on we have disobeyed the Most High. And we have transgressed his laws. And we have made him angry. We have offended him. If we don't take that into account, then we can just say, hey, what people say, I'm human.
Right, that's what they say?
Yeah. That don't get it.
Nope.
That does not
get it. And Brother Miles, just doing the ones that you want to do don't get it either. You have to do the whole thing.
Amen. The whole thing.
The whole
not
thing.
Just, I don't believe in those over there. I believe in this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what
right.
people do. They will pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
He says, keep my whole law. So we got to understand that we have to have godly sorrow.
Amen.
And that's in everything.
In everything.
Everything. Because when we transgress, we're transgressing his statutes.
That's right.
His law.
That's
his
right.
command. His
that's right.
judgment.
And you ain't hurting nobody but yourself.
Nobody but yourself. And if we try to tell ourselves, well, you know, he got to forgive us, you know, it ain't that serious.
Oh, he don't.
You just offended the Most High Elohim. And it's not that
Can
serious.
Can I say something, brother?
Of course.
That's why I don't understand why people don't tithe. That's a commandment.
Why they don't fast?
That's a commandment.
Amen.
It ain't like you giving somebody something.
Right.
Or you losing
Amen.
Something. That's a commandment.
Amen.
I just don't
Amen.
Get that.
I agree with you. Amen. I agree with you. But, you know, it's like people don't think it's that serious.
Okay. All right.
They don't think it's that serious. So, it you know, they can do it and not feel that guilty.
Right.
Or guilty at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with sin, anything that we don't do, we become hardened to it.
That's right.
We become
right.
desensitized to it. Okay. What must accompany confession of sins? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. And let's get verse 13. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
I think we already said this one as well, but it works with this verse as well. Yeah. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. So we got to always remember this. We got to have godly sorrow with this. Not just I'm sorry. We got to realize who we are. Who we are what? Transgressing against.
Right.
And if that don't make you do right, ain't nothing going to make you do right. Trust me. If you can transgress against the Most High and not feel no guilt, no shame.
Or be scared.
Say that again.
Or be afraid.
Right.
That's
then ain't nothing going to make you afraid, make you sorry or ashamed. So let's look at some Bible instances of confession, okay? And we want to make note of in how it was done. Let's go look at Miriam and Aaron and Moses. Numbers chapter 12. The book of Numbers chapter 12. And we're going to get verses 1 through 12. What then did Miriam, Moses' sister, and Aaron the high priest, Moses' brother, have to confess? What was their sin? Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has Yah indeed spoken only to Moses?
Mm.
Now, the Most High did speak to Miriam and Aaron. And so they're not saying anything that's untrue here. Has he not spoken also by us? And Yah heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And Yah spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Are we reading that he's speaking to all three of them?
Yes, we are.
Yes. Yeah.
Come out, you three. Come out here unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And Yah came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. Now, they're hearing the voice of the Most High, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Get over here. And he said, hear now my word. If there be a prophet among you, I will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches. He says, if there's a prophet, I'm going to come to him in a dream, in a vision. But I ain't going to speak to him mouth to mouth. I'm not going to tell him everything and show it clearly like I show it to my servant Moses. There's a distinction here, right?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You trying to make yourself equal with him? He's telling him you're not. You presuming some things that you shouldn't presume. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently not in dark speeches, but and the similitude of Yah shall he behold. Wherefore, why then were you not afraid? Why were you not afraid to servant Moses? That's why I say you got to be careful sometimes when you're speaking against the man or the woman of the Most High.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you don't know what status they have with the Most High.
Amen, amen.
And then you're going to presume to put your mouth on. And the anger of Yah was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. You'd have made the Most High leave.
Yeah. Amen.
And behold, Miriam became leprous. Now, Miriam became leprous because she's the oldest. And evidently, she must have been running her mouth an awful lot.
Yeah.
White as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Yah, I beseech thee. He said, my Lord. And he's calling Moses his master now. I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherewith we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. So the Most High said, hey, why were you not even afraid to speak against my servant? Because people don't respect the men and women of the Most High today.
No, they don't.
They do not do it. It's just a man and a woman to them. And that's what Aaron and Miriam thought. Don't the Most High speak to us too?
Yeah.
I can go to the Most High myself in prayer.
Yeah.
But you may not have that same relationship and that same status as that man or that woman that you are talking against. And then you are being presumptuous. I'm just like you. And the Most I might tell you, no, you're not. So we don't ever want to have the same spirit that Miriam and Aaron got. Because the Most I can talk to all of us, right?
Yeah.
He can talk to any one of us. But we better not become puffed up if the Most I haven't put us in a place, in a position, and said, this is what I'm doing with you. You should not assume anything. Say what? Respectful in all things.
In all things. Hallelujah.
You may not know why the Most I is saying a certain thing or doing a certain thing. Moses was a younger brother, but he was the one that, what, the Most I put in authority?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
In charge?
Yep. Yep.
And then they didn't want to respect that authority.
Right.
Most I said, let me straighten this thing out.
Hmm.
See how long, if we really read down in there, he said, her father should have sat in her face.
Hmm.
That's how grievous what she had done was that bad. When what sin did David have to confess? Let's go to 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel. You're just looking at confessions. Aaron and Miriam became prideful and wanted to talk against Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. And they were black, she was black. That wasn't the issue. The issue was she wasn't a Hebrew Israelite. She wasn't part of his kinsmen. How you going to do that? The Most High said, if I didn't get on him about it, who are you?
Amen. Amen.
2 Samuel chapter 11. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. David doing the peeping Tom thing. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now when David first looked and saw she was bathing, he should have just turned around and walked away. But he dwelt on that thing. And David sent, and not only did he dwell upon it, now he didn't send somebody to inquire about her, right?
Right.
David sent and inquired after the woman. Hey, who is that woman I saw on the roof? Bathing. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Now they asked the question, isn't that who that is?
Yeah.
And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. Now, he's the king. She's not really going to deny him. She should have. But then David could have had her, what, killed?
No.
And he still would have been wrong. He was wrong for sleeping with her knowing she was another man's wife. And if she had refused him and he killed her, he would have been wrong.
Wow.
So he was wrong all the way around. Because he put her in a position that, that's why the Most High didn't really hold her, you don't hear nowhere in the scripture where it holds her accountable.
Nope.
He's the man, he's the one in charge. That's why I say I blame a lot of these brothers for what's going on and not the woman. If she's being obedient to him, then I don't really blame her. Because the man, you can't say you're the head and then don't take the blame. So David is the king. He done went and inquired after this woman, found out that somebody told him that she's the wife of somebody else. Now, evidently she was on her cycle at one point. Because the next purified from her what?
Uncleanness.
And she returned unto her house. Now, that doesn't really, I take that back. That doesn't necessarily mean that she was on her cycle, because when a man and a woman lay together, they become what?
Unclean.
And it says for them to wash, and they are unclean until the evening, right?
Right.
So that doesn't necessarily mean that she was on her cycle or was around her cycle. She is laid with him, so we're going to leave it where it's at. For she was purified from her uncleanliness, and she returned unto her house. So she goes and she washes, and the evening comes, and she returned back to her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Now, she didn't know that right away. Some time had to pass. So we don't know how many times this happened. But the end result is she got pregnant. David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house. Now, this is just dirty. Go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house. And there followed him a mess of meat from the king. King trying to bribe him with what? Just meat?
Uh-huh.
But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of Yah. And, or of his Lord, and I need to change this back because it's not talking about Yah here. So I need to correct that. It's talking about David being his Lord. And went down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down to thy house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab, my master Joab, and the servants of my lord are, so he's really talking about who his boss, his master, the one, the general, and are encamped in open field. Shall I then go into my own house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? Everybody else, all the other soldiers, where? Out in the field. You called me here, and I came to see you, but I shouldn't be going down and feasting and laying with my wife and all the other men in camp. So this man, he's honorable, and he's got integrity. And I think in the Most High is saying, hey, no, you can't do that either. Most High's not going to let him do it. Because when I read about, who was it, Pharaoh with Abraham. The Most High said, told Pharaoh, he said, I kept you from laying with her. I took it out of your heart to do it. So the Most High can stop us from doing stuff or make us do stuff. So I really believe that the Most took it out of Uriah's heart to go lay with Bathsheba, because the Most High knows what's been going on. So lie with thy wife, and thou livest, as thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, tarry here, wait here today, and also tomorrow, and I will let you depart. So David is thinking, hey, if he keep him here a couple of days, he might go ahead and turn on down there. And David said to Uriah, and so Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow, and when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, his master, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it to by the hand of Uriah. Now, this is just even dirtier. I'm going to hand this man his own, what, death sentence and make him carry it back himself?
Yep.
And he wrote the letter saying, set you, Uriah, in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire you from him. Put him up front and then leave him there.
You leave.
Mm-hmm. That he may be smitten and die.
Premeditation.
Yeah, that's premeditated, what, murder?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto the place where he knew that the valiant men were, and the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, if it be that the king's wrath arise and he say unto thee, wherefore approach ye so near unto the city? When you did fight, know you not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal-Besheth? Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall that he died in Thebez? Why went you nigh so near the wall? Then say, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devours one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. Now, I want to stop here for a minute. We're talking about what did David have to confess, but really, let's also look at this in the light of, how do you think Bathsheba actually felt?
I think she felt kind of bad.
I would think so. Yeah, I think she did too. Because this wasn't by her doing.
Nope.
So I think she was probably in a real bad shape. Now, and when she mourned for her husband, and when the mourning was past, that wasn't like not talking about the next day, but the time of mourning, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. So this had to be like 30 days. It's still kind of quick. But the thing that David had done displeased Yah. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. And we just read 2 Samuel chapter 11. Let's go to 12. So Yah was not happy with this thing, right?
He wasn't.
Right.
And Yah sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. There were two. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup. So this ewe lamb, he said, ate from his hand, right? And drank from his hand.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. So this sheep, he thought of this sheep just like, you ever met somebody that treats their dog like their child?
Mm-hmm.
Think of it just like as a human being. This is what he's saying about this man, how he felt about this ewe lamb, right? This is how he's playing it today. And there came a traveler unto the rich man and spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb. Now this rich man got an abundance. This one man only got one. And he took the one man, rather than taking the rich man taking one out of his own flock, he took the poor man's one ewe lamb. That's just dirty. And dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. David knew that the way this story was explained to him, this man did wrong, really wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he said to Nathan, as Yah liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die, David was really pronounced as his own sin.
His own sin.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, you are that man.
Hello.
You got to know, how would you feel at that point? I'd have been like, oh, snap. Thus saith Yah, Elohim of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife into thy bosom. I gave you the throne of Israel. I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I gave you his house. I gave you his wives and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. If that had been too little, if that wasn't enough, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things, whatever you had asked for. Now, again, I say to those brothers that say it's illegal to have more than one wife, the Most High said he gave David all of Saul's wives. If it was illegal, he wouldn't have given them his wives.
Hmm.
I gave this to you. And if that wasn't enough, all you had to do was ask, and I would have given it to you. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of Yah to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have killed him with David wasn't there, but he had him killed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the Most High says, it's like you did it. You did it. You commanded it. You're guilty. And has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house. The sword is going to always be in your house, meaning that it's going to be against your house. Because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith Yah, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine own eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. I'm going to do it openly. I'm not going to do it in the night, in the dark like you did. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. And that means in the light of day. People are going to see other people sleeping with your wives because you had not respect. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yah. Did he say, I have sinned against against Uriah?
Uh-uh. Nope.
I've sinned against Yah. And Nathan said unto David, Yah also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Because David's supposed to what?
He's supposed to die.
Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of Yah, to blaspheme Yah, you the king, I set you in place, I said that you are a righteous king, and I'm your God, and then you have caused your enemies to blaspheme me, to talk evil about me. The God of David allowed him to take this other man's wife. That's why I said we have to, when we sin, we got to know who we represent.
Man.
And people don't care when they're sinning that, and they call themselves a Hebrew Israelite or a saint of the Most High. And other people see them sinning. They don't care what they say about, what they can say about who the Most High. Don't even look at it really like they're representing him. They just want to do what they want to do. And that's what David, David just wanted to do what he wanted to do. He said, I got to have her. Didn't think about how it would make the Most High look. And, who, and the Most High is concerned with how you made me look. Is that not what he just said?
Yes, it is.
Albeit, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of Yah to blaspheme Yah, to talk bad about Yah, to talk bad about the Most High, which is blasphemous because they shouldn't be opening up their mouths against the Most High, period. But you give them occasion that they can talk bad about me. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. You're not going to die, but I'm not going to let the child live either. Something's got to die. Nowhere in here do you see fault given to who? Bathsheba?
Nope.
Nope.
It's all on
David. It's on David. And he caused the Most High name to be blasphemed. What sin did Achan commit? We talked about this earlier with Joshua.
Did who commit?
Achan.
Achan?
Oh, he stole the spoils that the, that Yah told him not to take. And hid him in his trailer, I mean in his tent, and buried him.
His tent. Amen. Go to Joshua chapter 7. The book of Joshua chapter 7, we'll get verses 20 and 21. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against Yah, Elohim of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, the silver under it. Did Yah know that Achan had sinned before he confessed it to Joshua? Go back up to the. He knew it, right?
Yes, he knew.
Mm-hmm.
But he still made him confess it to Joshua.
Yeah.
Joshua chapter 7, verse 11. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken up the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Who did Yah accuse of sinning when Achan sinned?
Israel.
Who did he accuse of sinning?
He accused Israel.
Israel. The whole nation, right?
Yeah.
So one person can cause everybody to get what? Charged?
Yep.
Israel, verse 11, Israel has sinned, and they, Israel, have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. But only this one man and his family has sinned. Who initially suffered for Achan's sin? Here's the issue.
Israel.
Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took up the accursed things. And the anger of Yah was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men unto Jericho, from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there, for there be but a few. So there went up there about of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men. Now this brother had already taken this stuff from a previous battle, and now Yah is not with them, and 36 men lose their life for his sin. For they chased them from before the gate, even before to bear them, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Joshua chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken up the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even amongst their own stuff. So the Most High accused Israel, and he accused, and the people who suffered initially were 36 men. What was the real result of Achan's sin? Joshua chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. One person can cause the Most High to leave everybody.
Yeah.
So when we do community, and when we're in a group, it matters that we're all walking upright before the Most High.
Amen.
Because one person doing wrong can cause us all to suffer. And if we can't understand this, that's why I want to make sure we all have a good understanding of this. And if we understand it, then you come and do that, then I'm gonna understand that you don't really care.
Right.
But if you can know this, that you doing wrong will reflect on all of us, and you're gonna do wrong anyway, that means you don't care about us.
Right.
Though confession of our sins guarantees forgiveness, 1 John chapter 1 and 9, it always means freedom from the consequences of our actions. So if you confess your sins, does it mean that you're not going to have to pay for them?
No.
Okay. When we look at Joshua chapter 7, verses 19 through 21, Achan confessed his sin, right?
Yeah.
Just read what happened to him when he confessed his sin. Because, you know, people say, oh, well, they confessed and said they were sorry. Let's see what happens. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Yah, Elohim of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Can't hide it. Now you're gonna confess and tell the truth like you're talking to the Most High, but don't hide nothing from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against Yah, Elohim of Israel. And thus have I done, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Drop down to verse 24. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons of Zerah and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? Yah shall trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. So they paid the price, right?
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I know I stand against the Most High. I brought all this trouble. And then Joshua said, well, y'all going to trouble you now. And they stoned. Because people think that once they confess their sins, that they shouldn't have to pay a penalty.
Mm.
I said, I'm sorry. You still got to pay the penalty. You still sinned. I forgive you. That don't mean I got to keep dealing with you.
Right.
So, no, I'm not going to kill you, but I'm not going to have nothing to do with you either. That's the penalty for keeping offending me all the time. I can't trust you. You know, all you're going to do is turn around and keep hurting me. So why should I keep letting you do that? I forgive you, but now I don't choose to deal with you. Because a lot of people, especially, you know, in relationships, the man keep hurting the woman over and over and over again, and she keep forgiving him. But she's got a right to walk away. But then, she, you know, a lot of the times it's, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to have, you know, I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to have nobody in my life. And that's the situation a lot of people are in. So then you got to make up your mind. You want a butt whipping every day, or you rather be alone?
I'd rather be by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was me, I would rather be by myself. But, you know, a lot of women will stay and put up with that. You want to be by yourself, or, you know, you rather this man keep disrespecting you all the time?
Mm.
Yeah. I don't want to be alone. You know, if I'm alone and he out here doing this, and ain't nobody going to be hugging me or kissing me or showing me no affection. And they say, well, I'd rather stay. Okay, then if you'd rather stay, then you made your choice. Don't complain.
Amen.
Right.
Because that's
Amen.
A bid you made.
That's what you want.
Right. That you made up your mind. So, you know, it's all kind of different aspects to this. Now, you can still forgive the man and say, but you know what? I forgive you, but I don't want to do what?
I don't want to be with you.
I don't want to be with you. And I'd rather be myself. But that's the part, that second part. So I forgive you, but then I don't want to be by myself. So I got to, how many times do I have to do this?
That
would be the question he asked. How many times I got, it says 70 times 70. I don't know if I can forgive him that many times.
Mm-hmm.
You're not obligated to. Yeah. So, you know, we take things out of context.
Yep.
Take things out of context. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. You see, a lot of people do these things, and they think that, like I said, they use the Most High. They try to twist the words of the Most High, you know, to their favor. Well, he says, be not deceived.
Yeah.
You fooling yourself. He said, so don't fool yourself. I'm not going to be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we do things, we don't want to be alone. And then we think that we can, you know, just abuse somebody, and because it's us and the Most High is supposed to be merciful, that, you know, we just say we're sorry, and whoever it is, they're supposed to be forgiving of us. But sooner or later, what's going to end up happening is you're going to end up by yourself anyway.
Right.
Hmm.
And then when the Most High kill him, then you're free to go do what you need to do. Because marriage is unto what?
Unto death.
Right, it's unto death. So once the Most High takes him out, then the woman is free to go marry whoever she wants to marry.
Yeah.
But until that time, she's got to do what?
Stay married to him.
She got to stay married to him. She got to stay by herself. Can't be with another man.
Right.
And that's what most of women don't want to hear. And when they learn that, then they say, oh, well, I'll just stay over here. And I know it can be a tough position to be in. But you got to think, what's best? Is my salvation worth this? Is my eternity worth this? So we'll stop right here for today. We're at 7 o'clock. We'll pick this up on next week. Because this is one of those areas where a lot of people get offended.
I'd rather be offended. Offend me, brother.
They just do. They get offended. A lot of people get offended in this area. You know, the truth is there's all kind of things in the scriptures, and people just get offended. Now, whether you like it or not, and I'll just say it this way. If we don't agree with the scriptures, or we personally have a disagreement with the scriptures, then we just need to have what? Keep that to ourselves. And then we need to bring ourselves back in line with the Most High.
Yeah.
Period. No matter what the subject is.
Mm.
So,
right.
You know, there are men out there who are abusing their women, and the women are taking it. And when the woman want to leave, they got to say, no, you can't leave me because you got to forgive me. She can forgive you and still leave.
That's right.
And then on her end.
The law didn't say that you couldn't leave him. The law said that you can't get married as long as he's living.
Right. But they don't want to, but then they look back and say, oh, wait a minute. And really for a lot of them, it's not the intimacy, it's the sex. And sex don't really have to be intimate.
Right.
You know, because I think a lot of people don't even really understand that. It can just be an act that somebody's doing and performing their duty, and he's just doing what he does, and she's being, you know, compliant, but there was no intimacy there.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well equate it to what? Two animals?
May as well.
Because if it ain't no intimacy there, then you just being used for your body, and he's being used for his. But it ain't necessarily love.
Right.
And when people can understand the difference, then they can understand that you can have intimacy without sex. Mm-hmm. And you can have sex without intimacy. And typically, most women want the intimacy. When all is said and done, you want both. But when everything is all said and done, if it's not any intimacy with it, most women say, "No, I don't really want that." But you don't love me.
Right.
So it comes down to growing up and learning these things. But anyway, we will pick this up on next week. And we should be able to finish this next week. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you. We thank you for your word always. Father, it is you who determines right and wrong. It is you that determines who is righteous and who is unrighteous. It is you that gives us the standard and tells us what we can do and what we cannot do. So, Father, we thank you for your word on this evening. We ask all those who are in need of forgiving someone that they forgive them, but understanding that you can forgive and not have to continue to deal with a person. If it's your desire to stay with that person and to have a relationship, then you need to truly forgive and let it go. Father, so give us the will and give us the understanding that we can have peace of mind in your word. And that we can forgive in the way that you say that we ought to forgive. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so we'll pick this up on next week, still looking at, different types of confessions that are in the book and how it was handled. As I said, David confessed, and he was sorry. And David knew that he should die. But the Most High said that his sin was not going to be imputed with him, but the baby still died. The baby died because of what he had done. You got to understand that the penalty still comes forward. Achan confessed. He said he had sinned against the Most High, but he still died. And the Most High chose to impute his sin against him. Not just him, his whole family, right?
Yeah.
Everything he had.
So we got to understand that. We have to be very careful in what we do, what we say, and we got to be very careful what words we try to put in the Most High's mouth. Because we can't put none in his mouth. And his will is going to be done. So we will pick this up on next. And then Thursday we have the business meeting. Wait a minute. Tomorrow is the 30th. Tomorrow is the new moon. Yep. Tomorrow is new moon service. So we will be celebrating Messiah's birthday and the new moon at the same time. And I pray that we can all be in attendance. I look at this new moon service, the beginning of the year one, especially knowing that it is associated with Messiah's birth. As just being ultra special, just like the Passover, just like Pentecost or Tabernacles, Day of Atonement. Matter of fact, the scriptures even equate the new moon to being equal to those. But because of who's also associated as far as his birth, this one just seems for me to be one that we seem to have neglected, Israel has neglected. So we want to make special, make this a special occasion, and I pray that we all be in attendance. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encampus angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Peace and blessings.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Have a great rest of your evening, and see you guys tomorrow night.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Amen.
Without you, then